And here in the end of the chapter, God is letting Israel know that before all of that happens, they have to go through their punishment. How many times in the Bible does God actually not only say, you will be punished, but he even tells them what the punishment will be? And that is the case here, here in Micah chapter 4, where God not only has been warning Israel, as we've seen, we've been walking through these minor prophets chronologically, he's not only been warning them about the coming chastisement for their disobedience, but now he's going to tell them what it is, and that is to be taken captive into Babylon. So beginning there in verse 10 of chapter 4, where we finished last week, the Bible says, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. So thou shalt go even to Babylon. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray as you'll teach us tonight, you'll grow us in your word as we can contemplate Israel's destiny here and the reason for the punishment, Lord, and may we take heed and understand that you want obedience from your children. And I pray, Lord, that we would also continue to pray for your people Israel as they are still blinded about the person of Christ. And we would look forward to the day when Jesus calls us home. So speak to us from your word, and may Jesus be lifted up through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So again, God reminds them about their regathering, about the kingdom, all of that in the future. But he's saying before all of that can be fulfilled, thou shalt go even to Babylon. First comes Babylon. First comes the chastisement. So this here in Micah was prophesied around 730 B.C. And this is one of the kingdoms that, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the image. And that image was in four parts. And those four parts represented four coming kingdoms. One of them, of course, was led by Alexander the Great. But one of them was Babylon, the first of the four kingdoms. So if you go to Jeremiah 52:4, we'll see here where, again, God prophesied that they would have to go through this chastisement of being taken captive by a heathen nation. And remember, the king at that time when Babylon took them captive was Nebuchadnezzar and then his son Belshazzar. But notice Jeremiah 52, verse 4. It says, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of that month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all of his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So here we see it actually being fulfilled. Remember when we preached to Jeremiah, which chronologically comes after Micah, by the way. We see it actually being fulfilled here, that where Nebuchadnezzar came and took Jerusalem and took Israel captive. And even in Jeremiah 25, if you want to turn there, God told them not only that they would be punished, Jeremiah 25, verse 9, he not only told them how they would be punished, which is to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, but he even told them how long they would be punished. Isn't that fascinating when you think about it? That God sent prophets to his people to say, you're disobeying, I'm going to punish you if you don't repent. And then he sent prophets to say, you continue to disobey, I'm going to punish you, and here's how I'm going to punish you, and here's how long I'm going to punish you. And Israel's response was to continue to disobey. It's fascinating when you think about it. So notice Jeremiah 25 and verse 9, where the Bible says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." So God said, this is what's going to happen. This is who's going to exact your punishment. Did you notice in Jeremiah 52, he said, "My servant Nebuchadnezzar." And this is how long the punishment's going to last. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. So go to Psalm 137, where we find Israel lamenting their captivity from Babylon. So Psalm 137 is one of the captivity psalms. There aren't a lot of them, but this is one of them. Notice verse 1, Psalm 137. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us a myrrh, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." So here Israel is, this is when they were in Babylon, singing about how much they missed Jerusalem. How sad that they wouldn't just repent and avoid all of this punishment that was coming. So, "You will go to Babylon," he said. "It's going to happen. It's done. There's no turning back. Nebuchadnezzar's going to take you. You're going to be there for 70 years. But go back to our passage, Micah 4:10. It was only 70 years. In God's program, that's not a long time. And he says, verse 10, at the end of the verse, "There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies." In other words, it's only for 70 years. And then I will come and I will pull you back out and I will restore you back to your land. Of course, we know that happened. Go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. But we know that that restoration took place, a very temporary, small percentage restoration. But it did take place under Ezra and Nehemiah. So if you're going to do chronologically, they come way close to the end of the Old Testament, Ezra and Nehemiah. But notice Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. It says, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Remember, this was the fall of Nebuchadnezzar, who God used to take them captive. Now, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look what I've done." And of course, we know that God then had to punish Nebuchadnezzar for his pride. And then his son, Belshazzar, had even more pride. And remember, he pulled out the golden cups from the temple of Jerusalem and used them to have a drunken party. And that's when he wrote the words on the wall and said, your days are numbered. And so Babylon then was destroyed after being used of God to punish Israel. And we see that in Isaiah 13. So let's turn there. Isaiah 13, verse 19. And so the chronology is that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take Israel captive. They were captive for 70 years under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Remember, Daniel was there for most of that time. So when we get to the captivity, we'll be in the book of Daniel. And then God punished Nebuchadnezzar, and then he punished Belshazzar, and then he punished Babylon as a nation. And then Ezra and Nehemiah, remember, under their leadership, Israel was able to go back and rebuild the walls and the temple. But notice Isaiah 13, verse 19. This is a prophecy about Babylon that comes after. "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that was quite an overthrow, wasn't it? Sodom and Gomorrah. This was one of the things that Saddam Hussein was trying to do, was restore Babylon, because most people believed it was in where Iraq is now. But God said, no, I'm wiping it, basically. It used to contain what they consider to be one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's gone. Verse 20, it shall never be inhabited. So that's how we know that Saddam Hussein wasn't going to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. Because God said, no, once I destroy it, it's done. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch the tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. So notice that God made it very clear that man would not be allowed to rebuild Babylon. But, of course, Saddam Hussein didn't care what the Bible said. So he tried, but it never came to fruition. So Babylon was destroyed around 500 B.C. History tells us that earthquakes were involved in its destruction because Babylon was one of those impenetrable cities. That earthquakes were involved in crumbling some of the walls, and Babylon was eventually completely destroyed and razed to the ground by other kingdoms. And what's interesting, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, in recounting the genealogy of Jesus Christ here in Matthew, God uses this Babylonian captivity as a historical marker, if you will. And there's really, he only uses in this particular generation, Abraham, David, Babylon, Jesus. Isn't that something? So it shows how significant it was in God's calendar. Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Isn't that fascinating? God said, here's these 42 generations from basically Abraham to Jesus, and I'm going to divide it into thirds. From Abraham to David, from David to Babylon, and from Babylon to Jesus. So in God's calendar, a very significant event for Israel to go through this chastisement under Nebuchadnezzar. So what about Babylon? God said the physical place is going to be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. But what's fascinating is on a spiritual plane, God's going to allow it to come back. Because Babylon has some spiritual significance as well, because it represents Satan's kingdom. And we find that in Revelation 17. So let's turn there. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's about 18 verses here in Revelation 17. So read it at home. But this entire two chapters of Revelation, which is Revelation only has 22 chapters. So two chapters of Revelation are dedicated to spiritual Babylon. So it's this resurgence of this spiritual system, if you will, and it's describing the one world church of the tribulation period. There will only be one church in the tribulation, and that church will be worshiping the Antichrist as God. Notice chapter 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So this Mystery Babylon will be brought back, but it's not the place in Iraq that's been destroyed. This is a spiritual system, a one world church. Go to chapter 18, verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for a 1 hour is thy judgment come. Look at verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. If you study it out, you look at 17, look at some of the descriptors of this city. Most people believe that it is actually Rome, the city that sits on the seven hills. The colors are purple and scarlet. Does anybody know of a religious system whose colors are purple and scarlet and it's centered in Rome? So there's going to be a connection there between that system, the Catholic system, and Babylon, Mystery Babylon. The good news is you and I don't have to be here for any of that. Hallelujah. Be thankful for that. So back to our passage here in Micah chapter 4. We see that God says you're going to go to Babylon. You're going to go there for 70 years. When I'm finished with you, I'll be finished with Nebuchadnezzar and his son and destroy the physical Babylon. But here in verse 11, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. So now God is talking about during the tribulation period. If you go to Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, during the tribulation period, there's going to be a war. And just like now, everybody hates Israel. And it will be true again. As we read in Revelation, the Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel, but he's going to break it halfway through the tribulation, and Israel will become the enemy of everyone. And Daniel, Hosea, Joel, here in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations, so this is the tribulation period, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So here we see the fulfillment of God saying, all the nations will be gathered against you. There will be this final war here in the valley of Jehoshaphat at the end of tribulation. Basically, everybody against the Jews. And Jesus intercedes, praise God, and the Jews win. So on to verse 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. All of these nations that hate Israel, all of these nations that are going to gather together and say, we're going to destroy, we're finally going to get rid of those pesky Jews. God says, they don't know my thoughts. They don't understand my counsel. He says, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Even though they've been scattered among the wind, and we've read about this many times in Isaiah and other places, God says, I will bring them back. How many times has he said that they will be regathered? Hosea chapter 1, go back there, verse 10. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yea, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And remember when we looked at Micah chapter 2, he talked about how he would gather them all together. And then if you go to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3, we'll see it again. The next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, a holy mountain. So at the end, they have this big battle. Israel wins. Jesus sets up his kingdom. And as we've talked many times, it is Israel's kingdom that they've been waiting for and waiting for and waiting for, which was prophesied of in the beginning of this chapter. Back to our passage, the last verse, verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. So, Israel gets the help of the one they nailed to the cross. Isn't that fascinating how that works? And we'll finish in Zechariah 8, where God talks about this final victory of Israel over the other nations. Zechariah 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Look down to verse 23 of Zechariah 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's what it'll be like during the kingdom. He's never done with his children. The promises are unconditional. And so, from a short-term point of view, God is saying to them, your chastisement is close. Here's what it's going to be. Here's how long it's going to last. When I'm finished with your chastisement, then I'll destroy Babylon, which again was the head of the Nebuchadnezzar image. And then you will go into your final punishment, which is still yet to come, which is the 7-year tribulation period. Eventually, all nations will be against you. But as a nation, fear not, because you will win. And then I will regather you, and I will give you your kingdom. So what a beautiful chapter this has been here in Micah chapter 4. If we can learn anything from it, it's that God warns us as well that we need to live an obedient Christian life. And if we choose to live a disobedient Christian life, chastisement is coming. God's promised us that. As whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's a promise. So thou shalt go even to Babylon. Lord, thank you for your word and for reminding us of these